Love this podcast? Support this show through the Acast supporter feature. It's up to you how much you give, and there's no regular commitment. Just click the link in the show description to support now.
With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/spoken. That's linkedin.com/spoken. Terms and conditions apply.
Hey, friends of the Tennis and Bagels podcast. My name is Andre, and I'm here with Owen and Vansh. And the Australian Open starts tomorrow, finally. Maybe not for everybody who is in Australia right now. And Djokovic might not play still. We are delaying our ATP draws preview of that for that particular reason. I mean, he's world number one. If he was just like a world number 50 or something, maybe we would still do it. But Novak Djokovic has won it 9 times. And if he plays or not actually is a big deal for previews and picks and anything. So we are just going to wait a little bit. So today is just going to be a WTA. And whatever happens to Djokovic happens, get vaccinated and stay safe and stay home and social distance. COVID-19 is still real. So how are you guys doing?
Doing okay. I mean, the Djokovic controversy is not making it easy to be on Twitter, but trying to just tell myself that the Australian Open starts in 36 hours or something like that and waiting for that.
Yeah, same. I'm just waiting to see what happens, what conclusion comes out of this whole thing. And hopefully it just comes to an end soon. We get an outcome. Yeah. And we just start talking about tennis, seriously.
Yeah. I mean, this feels like Isner Mahut or something, where like by the end, it's like, I don't care who wins. I just want someone to win so we can move on to other and better things.
Yeah. It's like, it is almost a good comparison too, because it's at the end of that match, you're just like, man, I don't care. This man is suffering so hard. Right. I just want this match to finish for the sake of both of them. Of course, Mahut was very depressed. Apparently, he wrote in his book that he was depressed for like 6 months after that loss.
Oh, no. I mean, that's such a shame, too, because Isner got destroyed in the next round. Like, it wasn't an important match. Like, I think as soon as it went past like 10-all or something, whoever won was going to be screwed anyway. Poor guy. Yeah. Unlike Isner, he's unproblematic. So.
Hopefully, this is the fifth set tie break.
Yeah. It was right. A 12-all.
Right.
Yeah. Man, I was going to say, I just remember. This is going to be a brutal 2 weeks for me, probably, at least the first one, because we have Canadians everywhere in the draw. And as the listeners might know, I do social media. If you follow Tennis Canada, I'm the one putting up all the GIFs and templates and stuff. Like 90% of the tweets are I am doing them. So the Australian Open has decided to place Canadians in both sides of the draw. So I'll be up all night, pretty much every day for the next week. If they decide to break every possible expectations and do a Leila Fernandez and reach the final, I will be dead by February. So,
Andre, you need to message Craig Tiley, get him to rig the draws for you so you can get some sleep.
Yeah. Can you guys at least put every single Canadian in the same side of the draw?
Right. And then you
actually
can, like,
never mind though, because then, yeah, because that's not good. Last year we had like Felix and Dennis in the third round and that sucked. So yeah.
True.
I guess this is a good time to plug to our listeners to follow Tennis Canada on Twitter.
Yeah, yeah, like
Tennis Canada.
That blue check, 50,000 followers. That is Andre Rolenberg, our fearless fearless leader, founder. Go follow them. Go follow Andre. Yeah. It'll be the best decision of your life.
Yeah. And if you're undecided with whether you should follow me, like, you can just at least follow Tennis and Bagels, because he has the touch of Owen and Vansh as well. So yeah, be very happy if you did. So anyways, you guys ready to start WTA? The least problematic if tennis face right now, so
I am so ready.
Let's cool. Do it.
Matches that come up to your mind, like, how do you guys want to do it? Like, I'm pretty sure we're not going to be doing like every quarter, every match, because who has time for that? So
Yeah, we could just start with the Barty gauntlet.
Sure.
Just the top half,
like, nice.
Yeah, I mean, so we do obviously see there's quite a bit of really good matchups because Osaka is the 13th seed.
Yeah.
And she and Barty could meet in the fourth round.
That's
but to get there. Yeah. Like Osaka has so many difficult opponents she has to beat. You know, from even her first round, Camilo Osorio Serrano is like not an easy opponent. Mm-hmm. She's pretty good. She won a title last year at the very end of the year. She's young and she doesn't have much to lose. Mm-hmm. Then there's Diana Yastremska, who's a really big hitter. But I feel like those two are a pretty safe bet that if Osaka's in the right mindset and she's playing some her best tennis because she is the best on a hard court, like at her best. So I like her to get to the third round, but then she could possibly meet Bencic and or Anisimova. Anisimova won a title last week and Bencic matches up really well against Osaka and she's won a gold medal and she's pretty confident right now. So,
yeah. Although her Grand Slam record isn't the ultimate best. But
but it's also we also know that Osaka tends to be more vulnerable in the early rounds than the late rounds. If like kind of an on fire opponent can play her in an early round before Osaka really has time to settle and find her confidence in her rhythm. So it almost feels like that third rounder could be more of a pitfall than like a quarterfinal or a semifinal if she eventually gets through Ash Barty in the fourth round.
But do you guys, what do you guys think? Is it a good thing or a bad thing that we might have if we end up having Ash Barty versus Osaka in the fourth round? Because it was something that we wanted to see, a match between those two. But we kind of were dreaming for a final, at least a semi.
I was laughing about that.
Yeah,
it's a good thing because we love that matchup. They played once in 2019. We just thought they would meet so many more times and it just hasn't quite panned out that way because of the way they've scheduled themselves or you know, where they've ended up in the draw. So from that standpoint, it'd be really nice to have a competitive hardcourt match between those two because, you know, Barty is like a well-deserving number one and Osaka is the best on the hardcourt when she's at her best. But then you also wish that it was later on in the tournament and not in the fourth round because we really wanted to see like a final or a semi between them.
I'm honestly not too fussed about it being in the fourth round. I think the matchup is so enticing, arguably the most enticing matchup in this entire draw. So I think if we get it at all, it's a win. I think if it happens, the winner will deserve to win the tournament. And if someone else goes on to beat the winner of that matchup, then she'll deserve it even more. So so I don't really see a like a losing scenario if this matchup does happen.
Yeah, I think it would be good for Barty if she wins against Osaka because that might give her the final boost that she needs of confidence to go on and win the tournament.
Yeah, finally, that would also like give her a pretty good argument that she's the best on any surface if she beats Osaka on a hard court. Like, that would be incredible.
Yeah. I mean, depending on Osaka, how Osaka plays, because if she's not doing well, then it's a different story. But
I mean, just a little concerned for her in the third round against Bencic, because, I mean, Bencic, I mean, she's only made one major semifinal, but she has a very good record against like top players in majors, like without going on and winning them. But she's made like two or three quarters and a semi, and she's kind of tricky because she takes the ball really early and she's
And Anisimova is a similarly huge hitter, so it feels like whichever of them Osaka ends up playing in the third round, if she makes it there, is just going to be like a heavyweight clash and not one that will be really easy to win comfortably.
So do we think we get that in the fourth round?
I think so. But I would just say, I think Anisimova is going to be Bencic in that second round.
Yeah, I'm going to be optimistic and say yes as well. I feel like both of them, I mean, we know Osaka takes things round by round, but I think both of them are going to be incredibly motivated. You know, Osaka is the defending champion. Barty is the world number one. This is her home slam event. So I think both of them are really, really going to want to win. And so from that standpoint, I would be surprised if either of them lost early or lost to anything less than like a really God mode performance from someone.
I think Anisimova has a good shot at beating Bencic with the form that she's in right now, like with the title.
For sure.
With Darren Cahill in the corner and stuff.
Yeah.
So yeah, I think we will get that match. I think we'll have Osaka.
Have some fun.
Imagine if we get an Anisimova Halep final. I think Halep's on the other side of the draw. And then Darren Cahill would be commentating that.
Oh my goodness. Would he commentate on a match of a player that he is coaching?
He's done it before, yeah. Okay. I mean, like, people shouldn't do that. I remember John McEnroe commentated the Wimbledon final with Raonic. It's like your motivations are so obviously compromised. I know. So it just shouldn't happen. But
at least if it's Halep versus Anisimova, you'd have kind of biased for those two players instead of like against any.
That's true. Tricky situation. Like I know Paul Anicon, like he's on Tennis Channel, you know, because like Fritz is always playing and sometimes he's ends up commentating. Like it's just happens.
Oh, I think I don't know if it was him on the commentator's booth in the ATP Cup, but he sucked to watch him against Felix Auger-Aliassime because he was speaking of like Fritz as if it was like world number 5 at this point in his career.
I remember that.
It was like, dude, you have got to be kidding me. He choked so hard on the tiebreaker and you keep talking to him as if it's going to be the little next
thing. Fritz was a 6-2 or something and then Felix won 6 points.
He double faulted and he just couldn't get himself together. He did win the match, but
that's the jinx right there.
But that's exactly why it shouldn't happen, because you're either going to be like talking up your player so much that it's not unbiased, or you're going to be like trashing your player, which probably sucks for the player. So no one wins.
It probably would suck for the coach, because they would probably lose their job after this.
Yeah, exactly.
Do you see any roadblocks for Barty potentially to get to the fourth round? I mean, the first two rounds don't seem that bad.
Not really.
I don't think so. I mean, she has had losses like that one to Rogers at the US Open that show that like she's mortal. But I mean, looking at the draw, I don't see that being a problem. I think Georgie, she has so much power, but she can also be so erratic. I think Barty will be more than solid enough to put her away if that matchup happens.
Yeah, I think Georgie is going to struggle because Barty is an excellent mover. And Georgie is too, but like if a player can defend against Georgie, it can become ugly for her.
Yeah, and
plus the slice is not going to make Georgie happy.
And Barty can outserve her, and I think like during her service games in particular, maintain the offensive most of the time. Another name that jumps out to me in this upper section is Lauren Davis. I mean, I'm not sure how her form has been recently, but in 2018 she had a really good run at the Australian Open, almost beat Simona Halep in a marathon in the third round. And her peak level is really, really high. So I think if she can find that, she can definitely make some noise in that section.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I see.
But another thing about it. Another thing about the Sorry?
I'm sorry, my voice was cutting off. You can go ahead.
Oh no, I was just saying I think that the Shelby Rogers was a little bit of an anomaly for Barty in a way, because it was at the end of the year and she was already like showing signs of being tired. And I think that was the last match that she played, right? In 2021.
Yeah, she hasn't played since the US Open. Yeah. So she got that time off, and then she's fresh off the title in Adelaide.
I feel like it's going to be harder than that to take her out. Like in an earlier round. So I think if she's going out, she's going to go out to Osaka.
Gotcha. So do we all think it's going to be Osaka and Barty then? Which probably means we'll end up with a George and Yastremska instead.
Yeah.
Yep.
This is exactly how it happened in Montreal last year. So that's exactly what's going to happen.
I think there'll be some chaos, but this section, there's usually one or two sections in Australia, especially in Australia. I feel like it's the most, because players are like fresh and they're coming off consistent part of the year or success the year before. I feel like it's it usually can continue on. Like we're seeing that with Krejcikova, Kontaveit, and Sakkari.
It feels like of any major, this would be the one that would hold to seeding the most. I mean, maybe Wimbledon, because there are so few grass specialists now. But it does feel like the top seeds will do pretty well here.
Yeah. Oh, another thing about if Barty and Osaka meet, I think it could be a really good match, but how good must it be to top Kontaveit Krejcikova this week?
Oh my god, that was insane.
Just absurd,
I mean, when Kontaveit hit those two backhand winners at 6-4 and 6-5 down match points to get to 6-all, I was like, I mean, that's surely going to be the decisive passage of play. And then the tiebreak went on for like 14 points. Couldn't believe what I was watching.
No, it was like 14-12 at the end.
Yeah.
14-12,
ridiculous tiebreak.
Yeah. And, like, they're both playing so well, too. Like, even on the match point, Kontaveit had a shot that like barely missed the baseline. It's like neither of them were really faltering. It's like winners or force errors on every point.
Super good. We should do a podcast just about that match.
And we'll get to them soon in the draw as well.
This
second section is headlined by Maria Sakkari, 5th seed, and Onstrupper, 9th seed. Do we see them meeting in the 4th round, or are there players here that can mix that up?
Sasnovich.
Sasnovich is tricky. Yeah, she has variety. But Jabbar is an interesting one because she played Kontaveit this week and then she had to retire from the injury.
Yeah,
and then she missed a lot of at the end of last year after Indian Wells. She couldn't qualify for the WTA finals. I really hope she's healthy because she's one of them. She's one of my favorite players to watch.
Same. I mean, I think the fact that she's still in the draw says a lot. I mean, Sasnovic is a really interesting player because she returns incredibly well, so she's going to break her opponent a lot. But at the same time, she doesn't play that many points on her racket because she's more consistent than powerful, doesn't have a huge serve. So while she's definitely capable of upsets, I don't really see her winning this section. But it will be interesting to see if she plays Sakkari in the second round, because that's not someone you want to play in the second round.
So. Yeah, probably.
Yeah, I think two players in this that are pretty kind of underrated is like Bernarda Pera and Alexandrova. Yeah. Those two are like, you know, they're always tricky, like to get to beat in the first couple of rounds. Because like Bernarda Pera is like a tricky lefty. She can make matches pretty physical.
Yeah,
she can beat some top players every now and then.
She was up a set against Anisimova. She was completely rolling her. I was just amazed at the quality of her backhand in that set. And Anisimova came back to win, but it shows that Pera is definitely capable of taking down top players.
I think for Jabbar, like trying to like make sense of this for here. Yeah, I think if she has to be scary about an opponent, like wary of her is Jessica Pegula.
Yeah.
She could then definitely like take her out, I think, in round 3, I think. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I don't see Jabbar losing in the first 2 rounds if she's healthy. But against Pegula in the 3rd round, that could definitely be tricky.
Yeah.
Yeah. I could see it against Pegula or Alexandrova in the 3rd round. But I feel pretty confident about Sakkari getting to the quarterfinals.
To the quarterfinals. Okay. So so you think
she'll holding her seed because she's 5th seed.
Right. Yeah. So you think she'll beat Jabbar or Pegula?
I think so. She's just been so consistent in getting to these and she usually plays like a really physical match either in the 3rd or 4th round, and she's
I mean that match against Andreescu with the US Open was wild. I mean, in the last few games it was such a visible struggle for Andreescu to stay in points, and by the end she was just completely gone. But I don't know, I think I mean, again, this is a big if because we don't know how fit Jabbar is going to be, but I think a peaking Jabbar would beat Sakkari.
I think a peaking Jabbar would. I just worry that like it'll get so physical that at some point Jabbar might struggle to keep up because she has been a little bit more injury prone last year, especially with.
I think if Jabbar is
her injury this week.
I think if Jabbar is peaking, like her ceiling is higher than Sakkari's.
Yeah. Yeah.
So, but it will depend, I guess, if Jabbar is making her shots, if Sakkari isn't getting frustrated to stay in point and like keeping the ball back in play, because she can definitely do that for hours and hours.
Yeah.
The Andreescu match is a clear example of that. But it's tough to pick between these two. Consistence wise, I would say probably Sakkari is my favorite to go through, and I think her ranking kind of reflects that. But who knows? Like, I think Jabbar could actually surpass like all expectations and make it into the quarters as well.
Yeah. I mean, I really hope we get this matchup because that would be another dream 4th rounder, like the 5th seed and the 9th seed, two players who had such exceptional years last year, who are kind of right on the cusp of like breaking through to win a major or make a major final. Both with their peak levels so high. I mean, Sakkari has become one of the best servers on tour. And Jabbar, with her power and variety, can just blow anyone away, as we saw against Świątek at Wimbledon last year. So all fingers crossed that Jabor is healthy, and that we get this in the fourth round.
Then before
I have 1-5 meeting in the quarters. It's chalk. 1-5 meeting. But like, I'm going chalk on this section.
Okay.
Yeah, it's interesting, right? Like, how many times do we feel so confident now? Like, I feel like the WTA is kind of getting to a level of consistency in how their players are performing, like day in, day out. Not necessarily that one are like that much better than the other, but
yeah. I mean, I think everyone is still upset prone at big tournaments just because of the astonishing depth of the field. But I think the top players really have established a line of consistency recently, which has been really impressive to see. Yeah. I mean, we had a Kontaveit and Krejcikova, that absolute classic. And then Bedosa and Krejcikova played a really good close final as well. Bedosa's another high seed. So yeah, I think things will be really, really exciting. I mean, even if they don't, but if the seeds hold, we're going to get a ton of amazing matches.
Yeah. Yeah. Before we call a winner of the quarterfinals into the semis, we can move on to the next section.
Yeah.
Do you guys also have that though? Barty Sakari?
Yeah, I think so.
Yeah.
All right. Yeah. Hopefully we'll disagree a little more.
This sounds like ATP draw preview.
Yeah. I mean, so this section is another really interesting one because first and foremost, we've got Sarah Saribas-Sormo, 32nd seed in here. We also have fourth seed Krejcikova and eighth seed Bedosa, who just won a tournament. I think this is one of the most stacked sections in the draw. You've got a first rounder between Kennen and Keys. You have a first rounder between Svitolina and Fiona Ferro, who's unseeded but is capable of upsets for sure. Azarenka is in the section, Ostapenko is in the section, you have Alison Risk. I think they're Coco Gauff. I think there are a ton of potential tripwires for the top seeds.
Yeah, I would agree. I actually have my dark horse in this section is Victoria Azarenka.
Excellent.
I think she lost a close match to Świątek in Adelaide. And she's looked really good. Indian Wells final last year. Like, finished her season pretty strong. And then Svitolina is the seed, and Svitolina recently hasn't been in great form, and she's usually prone to hitting a really good player in the early rounds of a major and then just not quite having the peak level to come up with a win.
I'm not sure if this is biased just because Azarenka's won majors before, but to me she feels like a legitimate threat to win the title, whereas Svitolina and Gauff and Kennen to me don't quite feel like they're there yet.
I tend to agree. I think I think Azarenka could make it past Svitolina. I think Svitolina tends to not play as aggressive as she should in majors and ends up losing close matches or matches that she should win, because I don't know if it's like nerves or the pressure of being in a Grand Slam that just kind of changes your mentality. But she hasn't really performed very well. Like, in virtue of her ranking, you can see that her level kind of dropped. She hasn't been as consistent last year either.
Although Svitolina was quite good at the U.S. Open. Fernandez was really, really
close.
That
was her best major last year. She was phenomenal, actually. She beat Halep in straight sets.
That was really impressive because a lot of those rallies were really physical, and Svitolina totally outplayed her.
And it depends if Azarenka gets to play same level as she did the U.S. Open, I think two years ago, or Indian Wells last year. I think she's got a pretty good shot at making it far into this tournament. Who knows? Maybe even winning.
Yeah, I mean, this won't surprise you guys, but one of the most exciting prospective matches in the section is a third rounder between Bedosa and Saribas-Tormo, because Bedosa is like a very offensive player, but she also doesn't go for too much. She's quite consistent, and so the idea of Saribas-Tormo trying to defend against that, I think it'd be a very physical match. They're friends, so I think that could be an interesting dynamic, and I think that could be a marathon, so I'm rooting for that to happen.
I was going to ask about Saribas-Tormo in a sense, because, well, she did play incredibly well in Wimbledon, which is interesting. Out of a player that plays incredibly physically and playing a third round Wimbledon is when the courts are normally faster. you know that she has the potential to do well, like on hard courts as well. I think her only title is on the hard court also.
Yeah.
So, Guadalajara.
She beat Bouchard in the final.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, Tsitsipas Tormo won't get tired, but her struggle is kind of similar to Sasnovich's. It's like she can, in theory, she could take out anyone, but I don't see her like scoring back-to-back upsets. Like, since every match is kind of going to be on her opponent's racket, it'd be surprising to see her go too deep. I think she can absolutely hold her seed and make it to the third round, but I don't really see her beating Badosa.
Yeah.
Yeah, I actually have her losing to Kostyuk in the second round. And then I have Kostyuk-Badosa.
Okay. Well, I disagree with you on that, Vaughn. I think I think she'll beat Kostyuk. So there's a disagreement for us. Yeah.
I'm glad we disagree on something. That's
it'd be interesting if Tomljanović actually pulls off the upset of the first week by taking out Badosa in the first round.
Oh, that's a brutal first rounder.
Yeah. It's a tough one because Tomljanović hasn't necessarily been has not the best history in the WTA right now. She hasn't really managed to like get too many matches, but I think last half of last year she has been very consistent in general. Yep. So
yeah, in quarterfinals. So
yeah, I was surprised to see her unseeded. That's definitely not a first rounder you want. What do we think is going to happen with Sofia Kenin? First of all, does she get back past Keys in the opening round?
Yeah, this is the one I'm really thinking hard about, because we've seen really great lead ups from Madison Keys before. The one I look back on is 2019 Cincinnati, where she really got herself back in the top 10, was looking like a really big force, was playing her power game. And then she actually beat Kenin in the third round of the US Open. And then she lost to Svitolina, which is Svitolina's only top 10 win in the major, in the fourth round. And then I think in 2020 Australian Open, she lost somewhere in the third or fourth round, and she got to the final of the tournament before. So we've seen these kind of things before. I don't know if this that will necessarily translate. I mean, she had a great week, but Alison Risk is an easier opponent than Sofia Kenin, I would say. So it'd be interesting to see if she can do this. I mean, Kenin, I'm sure where she played three matches the week before, and she lost to Barty. That was the match we were talking about, where Barty hit 17 aces in the quarters. I guess that's a pretty decent, that's not a bad result against Barty. And then this week, I think she lost to Kazakina, which is also a tricky opponent. But
yeah, I think for me, it's like I haven't seen much of Kenin as of lately. Yeah. She was out for a long time last year.
Yeah.
So I kind of lost touch with like how well she's playing, where is her confidence. She got back with the in a partnership with her dad, I think, for coaching. So that could be good for her, but Keys just won a tournament. And I don't know.
Yeah, I do think Kenin will get her game back, but I just think, Keys right now is just too big of a force to open up against. So I think I have Keys getting through.
I would say Keys gets through as well. I think it could be like a three-setter, but I think Keys gets through.
Got it.
Kenin would like it to really be a scrap. And would really love to extend those rallies to get Keys to overplay in big moments. That would be her game plan, I would say.
Yeah. Yeah, I think I see the winner of Krejcikova and Azarenka in the fourth round winning this section.
I do too.
Or in the third round? No, fourth round. I think Badosa will win the bottom half of this section, and then either Krejcikova or Azarenka will beat her.
That's a good pick. Oh, the other name that I thought of in this section is Coco Gauff.
Yeah.
And she's been hitting her forehand a lot better to start off this season. And that's usually that's like the one shot for her right now that's a little bit behind where the rest of her game is at.
Mm-hmm.
And she played a really tight match against Keys. It really could have gone either way. It was 7-5 in the third.
Yeah.
And they could meet each other again in the third round, it looks like.
Yeah, I see Gauff beating Keys, but losing a close one to Badosa.
That's what I have as well. I have Badosa getting through to the quarters, and then actually beating whoever the winner of Krejcikova. Krejcikova's draw is pretty doable until Azarenka, I would say. I mean, Petkovic, tricky, but she'll get through that. Ostapenko is like the X factor in this section, but I actually have like I could see like Vekic beating Stepanko.
It kind of feels like once Krejcikova gets to the fourth round, like every match from there is going to be like a toss up. Like on seeding, she'd be favored to win them, but it still feels like they could go either way. Like I think Goff could absolutely win this section as well.
Yeah,
I'm gonna have an upset. I'm gonna say Azarenka beats Krejcikova.
Okay.
Yeah, I'm gonna be conservative here just because I feel like Krejcikova has been solid last week enough for me to believe that she believes that she can do something in the Australian Open. So I think she's gonna make it into the
quarters.
The quarters, yeah.
Yeah, I'm gonna say the same thing. I feel like she's been quite steady. And like it won't surprise me if someone else wins this, but I feel like she's still the safest bet.
Yeah, and I think I would pick Goff to go into the quarters as well, facing Krejcikova in the quarters. I think she beats Badosa in the quarters. Yeah, and in the quarters were in the fourth round. Yeah,
got it. Yeah, I think I'm gonna say it's gonna be Krejcikova and Badosa, and Krejcikova wins.
Another seeds holding.
Yeah,
I have Azarenka Badosa rematch of Indian Wells final.
I would love that. That'd be amazing. Because I was just thinking about that match. I know it's the second best match of the year. You guys know which one I think was better. But it was amazing to watch.
They actually played in the first round of Adelaide, and this time it was a blowout. It was 6-3, 6-2 for Badosa.
Oh, that's right.
Like I remember that. Yeah,
I think something similar will happen again if they play. Like, I really feel like Badosa is really getting close to winning a major. Like, she's
I mean, and she's come up on it quite quickly. Like, she's improved so fast in such a short time. Mm. And
isn't a weakness in her game.
Yeah, I had actually forgotten about that rematch with Azarenka. I mean, that's quite the emphatic follow-off. So yeah, I think she would definitely be favored if they played again.
I would say it depends on how Badosa sees herself, like, in majors, because it depends. Like, for example, we have Svitolina, who has won so many big titles and hasn't really come that close to winning a major. Is Badosa going to follow into the same path? I don't know, maybe. But maybe if she can still keep herself being aggressive and picking big targets, I think and not like overplaying, I think she's got the game.
Right. Yeah. And her matches this week weren't too physical. I mean, Krejcikova had the physical one against Kontaveit, then a physical one against Badosa. And then I'm not sure if she's in the doubles draw. So that's the other thing as well, because she's so dedicated to doubles. So I just, you know, and then physically, I'm going to have more concerns about Krejcikova than I do.
Yeah,
that's true. That's true. But at the same time, like, Krejcikova did play like the entire singles and doubles draw at Roland Garros last year, and she played mixed. Right. And it still took her all the way until the US Open to kind of fade physically. So I feel like at the start of the year, even though she's just had this tough tournament, I feel like she'll be fine.
Yeah.
So should we move on to the next section?
Yeah. In the quarterfinals now, we have Sakkari. For all of us, I think we got Sakkari and Barty. And then the second quarters, we got different players. Got Goff and Krejcikova. Owen got Badosa and Krejcikova. And Vansh, who'd you pick?
Azarenka and Badosa.
Azarenka, Badosa. Yeah, cool. Disagreement. There you go.
Yes.
All right, so this next section, seeds are Kontaveit 6th and Rybakina 12th. Both of these are inform players as well. So,
man, yeah, Kontaveit is
I think she's a clear favorite for this section, to be
fair. Just about to say, I don't think I can bet against her. Like, that, I mean, sure, she lost to Krejcikova, but like, that was, I mean, she destroyed Krejcikova in that first set. Like, it was amazing. Yeah. It's like she was hitting winners off of balls that didn't even look like floaters. It was like neutral ball, and she would just hit a winner. Yeah. I mean, and she went on to lose the match, but she had match points, I think like 6 of them. And it didn't really feel like she choked. It just felt like she lost a really, really close match to a slightly steadier player. So yeah, I feel like if I don't think that's going to get in her head. I mean, she was joking on social media about it like minutes after, which was hilarious and amazing. So yeah, I feel like she's going to come out of this.
Yeah.
Interesting. Yeah. I do think like her level is really sky high, and she could just keep it going. Her draw isn't the easiest though. I mean, she has Siniakova in the first round, not an easy opponent. Mm-hmm. And she has potentially Clara Tosin, who's a really good young player.
Yeah.
And then Shelby Rogers is actually who beat her last year at the Australian Open. She was the only player outside of the top 50 to beat Gannett Kontaveit the whole year. So I mean Shelby Rogers has always been tricky. In hardcourt majors recently, she's been really getting to the second weeks, but I don't see her beating Kontaveit again.
I think this is a different Contivate than we had this time.
Exactly. I was gonna say, like, she wasn't in the crazy winning streak that she put off like last year.
I
think Siniaková is interesting too. I don't think it's gonna go into a third set. Maybe Krejčíková might give her some tips on how to play, but I still don't see it. Contivate losing. I really don't see her losing before anything before quarters or semis, like for Contivate at this point. So.
Yeah. Who do we think is going to come out of the bottom half of this section? I'm kind of intrigued by a potential second rounder between Rybakina and Golubic.
That's the one I'm really interested in.
Because I saw Golubic playing Halep at the Melbourne tournament, and the end of that match was really high quality. She was striking the ball incredibly well, even though she lost the match. So I think that's beautiful, a potential upset. Backhand. I have to admit, she did hit some really great shots off that backhand.
She's the only player in the top 100 that actually has a one-hander.
Is she now the only player? I think that was...
There's another player in the draw, Diane Perry.
Yeah.
She has one. She plays Kostyuk in the first round.
Yeah.
But she's outside the top 100. You're right, Owen. Golubic and Rybakina, for me, is like a really good second round. Same with Collins and Rogers. All-American.
Yeah, and I think the winner between Golubic and Rybakina will play Contivate in the fourth round.
I would get to say that too. I think Rybakina has more game in general, but Golubic is can Same play with, like physical and powerful, so could be interesting.
Martins will probably just hold seed, I would say.
Yeah, so it's a loss in the third round then.
Playing Verizon or Iva, who I think has made a final in the Australian Open before?
She made Wimbledon and US Open final in 2010. Yeah,
exactly.
And then peaked and got to number two.
Yeah.
And 12 years later, here she is. That's amazing. It's pretty amazing. It would be a great story if she could do well. I mean, I haven't seen much of her because she peaked before I was a fan of tennis, but I think it's really cool to see like these old names trying to come back.
She was if you ever watch, well, you can always go back on YouTube, but like she's the classic hard-hitting Russian, I would say.
Okay.
Yeah.
Right.
Cool. Yeah. Yeah. So do we all have Contivate making the quarters?
Yeah. Against I was just gonna pick Rybakina just for the sake of the seed, but I don't know.
Contivate against Rybakina in the fourth round.
Yeah.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Yeah.
Through the quarters. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, I think I have that as well. So in this next section, even though we have Muguruza, who's the third seed, I think the most interesting name to me in this section is Simona Halep. She's seeded at 14th, but we know she probably, like on form, she's probably higher than that. So I'm really curious to see what she can do here because it's a tough section. I mean, Sloane Stephens is here, US Open champion Emma Raducanu is here. World number three Muguruza is here, so I'm kind of curious to see if Halep and Muguruza will make it to the fourth round clash. Yeah. And because those two played in the Australian Open semis in 2020, and Muguruza won in straights, but Halep had set points in the first and served for the second. So I think those two could play another really close match.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it's interesting. I have I do have Halep getting through to the fourth round.
Mm-hmm.
The other interesting match is Stephens and Raducanu.
Right.
I just, based on Raducanu's, what we analyzed about her in the last podcast and what she's short on matches, and also the hype and everything around her. Mm-hmm. And Stephen's probably just a little bit more of a safe bet, not by much.
Yeah.
But I do have Stephen's coming through.
Yeah, I do too, but I do also want to acknowledge the possibility that Raducanu could get hot again and just start trashing her opponents again. I mean, I think it's unlikely to happen because, you know, her form has lapsed since she won that US Open. It's a different atmosphere now with the pressure and everything. But I mean, that game, like, there are no issues with her game. Like, she just hasn't played her best. So I think if she does start to play her best, she could win this section. Yeah. I don't think it'll happen, but it's a possibility.
Yeah, I think Raducanu is like the biggest question mark, weirdly, in this draw, because
we saw
what she was capable of, and to do that for like I think 10 matches, that's what was required of her to win the US Open. It means that she has a ceiling that she can keep for a long time.
Yeah,
for sure. But I'd love to see like that best version tested against the best version of Stephens, like with her with her defense and her fluidity around the court.
Yeah,
that would be like my dream. Like
the rallies, can you imagine?
Like right away, we get a match of the year type match. I mean, that's like really hyping things up. But
still, that would be good. Yeah,
I think Raducanu could. We could see a peaking Raducanu for like 3 rounds, and then it would be a little bit rougher after that. I don't know why. It's just like, I feel like it's almost unfair that Raducanu would just peak for the slams like that and just thrash every opponent. Imagine she just kind of like wins the Australian Open without losing a set. I mean,
that would be kind of
difficult to imagine, but she already did it. So what else can we even do? Like, I mean,
be like Wawrinka on steroids with a peaking at the majors.
Exactly.
I mean, something crazy to me is that Stephens and Halep could play in the third round, and less than 4 years ago, they were in a major final against each other. And it's kind of crazy how fast stuff can change, even though a lot can happen in 4 years. And I do think we will get that match between Halep and Stephens. And then I think the winner of that will play Muguruza, who will probably win that match to make the quarters, I think.
Yeah. I will say that if Halep makes it into the fourth round, I think she makes it past Muguruza. Not that I think Muguruza isn't a great player. I just think that weirdly she plays well and then she doesn't. And then she has done more playing well than not playing well last year, but I think it can happen. And I think Halep is, in my own view, I think Halep is a bigger champion than Muguruza is. I feel like she's more consistent of the two, and I think she has more of a capability of coming through top situations than Muguruza has. But I could very well be wrong. I would say that the margin is very, very slim between those two.
Yeah, I was actually about to change my mind and say Halep would win that one, so I go against the top seeds a little bit more. I do think that would be a really interesting match, though. And then the winner of that would have Kontaveit in the quarters, right? Or is this the fifth or the sixth section?
Yeah, the winner of this would have
Kontaveit. You would have Kontaveit, yeah.
Yeah, that would be crazy. If we had like Muguruza and Kontaveit, or Halep and Kontaveit, I mean, winner of that could win the title.
Right. For me, I'll just say if Halep and Muguruza play, and they're both sort of at or near their best. Well, we saw that match play out in 2020 Australian Open. They had a really nice like semifinal.
Yeah.
With Muguruza coming through in like two really tight sets.
Yeah.
I just think of the two, though, Halep is a more safer bet to get to the quarters. Like just because her, you know, with her consistency, and you can always just kind of rely on her outlasting opponents, whereas with Muguruza, I feel like there's more peaks and valleys. Definitely.
I mean, that's true, but at the same time, I think Halep has less firepower, and that means she's more susceptible to kind of being blown off the court. Like, I remember last year, she played Serena in, I think, the fourth round, or no, I think that was the quarters, actually. And I was expecting, like, a really tight match, but Serena was playing incredibly well, like, hitting all her spots, and she kind of just swept Halep aside. And so I think that's more likely to happen to Halep than Muguruza. So yeah, I honestly don't know what's going to happen, but I do think like one of the two of them will make the quarters.
I will say though that a peaking Serena Williams is a different beast to
absolutely.
Yeah.
But that's what I would say is like if Muguruza and Halep meet, then I'm going with Muguruza. But I just think...
But you think Halep has a better chance of getting there?
Yeah,
but I think Halep has a better chance of getting
there. I do want to see a Raducanu-Halep match. I think it'd be more interesting than Stephens-Halep. Not that it's going to be bad, but I feel like I just think that Raducanu needs to get back on her feet quicker play a couple good matches.
I just want to see Raducanu play like former major champions. Like I want to see her play everyone, you know?
Yeah.
Vance, who do you think could take out Muguruza from the bottom section there?
So I would say
Heather Watson.
No, you know what? I look even Zidanchuk before that. Elise Cornet in the second round.
Okay. Mm, interesting.
Is one that nobody wants to play. Elise Cornet, because she's got some big wins in her career, early rounds of majors and other tournaments too. The one that comes to my mind was when she beat Serena at Wimbledon in 2014 in the third round.
Yeah,
I mean, she's also recently, she took a set off Osaka from a breakdown in Osaka's first match back as well.
I guess Cornet.
That would be the one. I mean, if she gets through Cornet, then I like her chances in the third round. And then the fourth round would be against Halep. So
yeah.
I would say if it is one round, I'd predict her to lose. Would probably be hesitantly predict would be the second round.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. And since we're going chalk all the time, I have to come up with some well, kind of a.
We got to do some mental gymnastics to say why Kovacic is going to beat everyone.
I'm just waiting for the bottom section because I'm going to predict that Sabalenka loses early. Won't come as a surprise.
But we're going to lose to Fernandez again, and
I think it's like a fourth Halep round. Kontaveit.
I mean, I have Halep and Kontaveit, and I think Kontaveit makes it through.
Okay, I'll say Muguruza and Kontaveit then.
Okay, I have Halep and Kontaveit with Andre.
Okay, all right. So section seven have Iga Swiatek, seventh seed, Anastasia Pavlyuchenkova, 10th seed, and then
a lot of in there.
Yeah, Kvitova is there. Yeah, so.
Stozer final singles tournament of her career.
Yeah.
Interesting. Yeah, I mean, it'd be good to see a story here, I think.
Yeah, it would be cool if she could make it through a couple of rounds. I feel like I can say pretty safely that I think Swiatek will make the fourth round at least. I mean, she's been consistently going pretty deep at these majors. Right. I think Australia suits her game pretty well. I mean, last year she lost to Halep, but for a set, she was kind of dominating. It really looks like the better player.
Yeah.
And since then, I think she's improved on hard. Yeah. So I feel like she'll make it out. I think she'll make the quarters, actually. Yeah. Like, I don't really see anyone in the section getting really hot and beating her.
I just have one name, though. That's Daria Kazakina in the third round.
Yeah that could be her.
Yeah.
You know, back-to-back semis this week, and they played once, but it was on grass, and Daria Kazakina won the last two sets 6-love, 6-1.
Okay.
When was this?
It was a warm-up. It was in Eastbourne, I think, before Wimbledon.
Okay.
But
this year?
2021 Wimbledon.
Oh, right.
Before that. But I do think she gets to the fourth round, at least.
Yeah, it's not an easy...
Yeah, she gets to the fourth round. I like her chances, because Kvitova, I don't see doing much damage in this tournament.
Yeah.
And then... Pavs, I think if she does get to the fourth round, I would pick Swiatek over her.
Yeah, I think so too. Yeah.
So
I think Kvitova could lose to Kirsteia in the first round.
Yeah.
To be fair.
Yeah, I think so too. That's not a first rounder you want. Kirsteia's got a really well rounded game, but I also think Kvitova could win this section. I think she's probably the one who Swiatek would want to play the least, even though Pavlyuchenkova is ranked higher. I mean, Kvitova was a finalist here 3 years ago. A set away from the title, so
the one story here that's kind of interesting is Samantha Stosur, 2011 US Open champion. Like, this is her last tournament she's announced in singles, so she would be retiring.
I mean, she'll get huge crowd support, presumably.
Exactly. I think she has a chance of like making it to the third round, honestly. Like, if everything falls into place, she could even make it into the fourth. Like, suppose
definitely.
Kirsteia makes it into the third round, and then Stozer could beat Pavlyuchenkova.
Yeah, I want to see her and Pavs in the second round.
Yeah. I don't think that's going to happen, but I think it would be a really good story if it did.
You think she's going to lose early?
I think she's gonna lose to Pavs in this.
Pavs in the second round. Yeah, that's what I have as well.
Yeah.
So I would say Shiante gets out of her quarter, like makes it two quarters.
Yeah, me too. I almost think it's kind of irrelevant who she plays. Like, I think in the fourth round. Like, I think if it's Kvitova, like, and Kvitova is in good form, I think that could be an amazing match. But I feel like that's a big if. I don't think Kvitova has been at her best recently. I think Swiatek is a solid pick to make the quarters.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I guess I will agree with that too.
Yeah, the bottom section is wide open because Sabalenka are really struggling right now with her serves.
The match I want to see here is a rematch of Kerber and Fernandez, which I think was probably the most underrated match of the US Open. I think point for point, it might have been better than ones that got more attention, like Alcaraz Tsitsipas, because it was really physical tennis, great rallies, really tight first two sets. Yeah. And then Fernandez just outlasted Kerber in the third set, which is incredibly tough to do. I'd love to see that. And I think it can happen too, because Fernandez, and she got blown out by Swiatek recently, but there's no shame in that. And she won't play a player that good before she plays Kerber. So I think it's definitely possible, but Kerber has a really tough first rounder in Kanepi. Pretty much the worst one she could have gotten. So that'll be interesting.
Yeah. Well, you know who's not struggling with her serve? Marino, who hit 24 aces to 3 double faults in her last round in the qualifying.
Is Marino Canadian, Andre?
I think so.
But I mean, 24 aces is incredible. Yeah.
I will say though that I think she worked on her serve during the off season because her second serve is ridiculous right now. It's got a massive kick, which it wasn't really doing last year. And now it really does. So it's cool. I mean, if she were to meet Kerber in the second round, which is a possibility, I think Pliskova is a tough first round for a qualifier ranked outside of the top 100. I think it could be a cool match. So you never know. But yeah, I'm definitely rooting for Fernandez Kerber third round. I think it would be fantastic to see a rematch of that. I wonder how Kerber would approach this match too after the loss in the US Open.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm hoping
Kerber and Fernandez can meet in the third round.
Yeah. That would be one I would absolutely wake up for. I think in Sabalenka's section is interesting because, I mean, if she's playing well, it's hard to see her not making the fourth round, but with the trouble on serve she's having, feels like she could lose to absolutely anyone. I mean, I think, what was it, 39 double faults across two matches? Mm-hmm. With numbers like that, you can't get a guaranteed win against anyone. So I think her first round will be incredibly telling. Like, either she'll have worked it out or it'll continue, and every match is kind of going to be like walking a tightrope, and I really don't know what it's going to be.
Yeah.
And she's the world number two. It's a fantastic player. Maybe she has worked it out, but it's tough to say.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's tough to say. There's also Ann Lee in that section who's playing really well.
I think if Sabalenka is still having the yips on serve, I feel like she'd probably make it through the first round, but then Ann Lee would take her out in the second.
Yeah, I'm wondering, like, what is it going to be? Where is it going to be played as well? I'm assuming it's going to be either Rod Laver or the second biggest arena in Melbourne, which I think is John Kay now, that they called it. But it could be huge support. If I can see the flag right, it's an Australian, so it could be interesting for support. Wondering, like, if the crowd would get into Sabalenka's head in that match. But and with a double fault, I think the Australian might think, hey, it might be my chance. So my home slam. So
you know what I got? I got Marino getting to the third round now.
You do? Crazy.
Yeah, crazy. I gotta pick something, you know, and the qualifiers, you know, they're confident, they're playing really well. Yeah. I watched Marino play last year in Toronto when she beat Bedosa.
Yeah. It was in Montreal.
Yeah. I always get them mixed up.
It's fine.
But yeah, that would be cool to see like an all Canadian clash. So I'll go for that. I'll have Fernandez in the fourth round. And then honestly, I feel like she could get to the quarters because that Sabalenka section is wide open. I'm gonna say Samsonova gets out of that. She's another player. Mm. She's a player who's bit underrated, but she had a really good Fed Cup. She won like all of her matches, and like she carried Russia to the victory.
Yeah,
she played brilliantly in doubles too, which also means that she has a really good skills at the net. So it could be interesting.
Yeah. I think Fernandez is going to be the quarterfinalist here. I feel like Kerber has better odds of going out early. And I think if they do play, like it was a close match, but in the end, Fernandez beat her pretty decisively at the US Open, decisively enough that I don't feel comfortable like changing my pick from that result. And then in the bottom section, I feel like it'll either be Lee or Vondrousova coming out. I think both of them will lose to Fernandez.
Yeah, I'd say it'd be either Lee or Samsonova, who I just, though Vondrousova was seated 31st, I feel like that's a tough round. That's a tough second round.
I think I will say Samsonova and Fernandez up into the fourth, and I would say Fernandez makes it into the quarters.
I have Świątek and Fernandez, and then I have Świątek getting through that.
Man, I definitely would like to see a rematch of the between Fernandez and Świątek. I think Fernandez really would love to get another shot at Świątek very soon.
Yeah, I think it's unlikely that she would lose comfortably again. I mean, again.
I could see a really close match actually between them if they play.
Like Świątek could very well win in straights again, but like different court, different atmosphere. I think different game plan probably for Fernandez. So yeah, I think that'd be really interesting. So do we want to work our way from the bottom up in terms of predicting the quarterfinal results then?
Yeah, that's cool.
Yeah, so I think I think Świątek would probably beat Fernandez still. Make her first major semifinal away from clay. I think that'd be a great way for her to start the year as well. Really establishing that she's a well-rounded player.
I'm gonna pick Fernandez, like part because of heart, part because of head, but I would say 70% heart that I want to see Fernandez making another deep run in a major again. Yeah. And I think she will have worked out a few more tactics and how to play against Świątek after being blown out in like a couple weeks ago. So I'll say Fernandez in a classic three set battle that's gonna, you know, electrify the Rod Laver Arena again. So
yeah, I mean, sign me up for that. Sounds amazing.
Amazing.
Yeah.
And then so then we have Kontaveit beating Halep.
Who did you pick, Vansh, for you picked Świątek as well for semis?
Yeah, Świątek for semis.
Yeah.
Then I'm deciding between Kontaveit and Halep. And
I'm going to say Kontaveit again for this one.
Yeah, I'm going to say Kontaveit as well.
I think Muguruza beats Kontaveit. She had good success against her at the end of the year last year. And she's done very well at the Australian Open in the past. So I think she'll play up to her seeding, make the semis.
Yeah.
Amazing. Yeah. I would also agree with that if I had Muguruza in the quarters. But I went with Halep.
I think Halep Kontaveit could be a really interesting match. It'd be classic offense defense. But that'd be a really fun watch as well.
Yeah.
So then I have Kontaveit, Świątek. And actually they played each other twice in the majors last year. Once at Roland Garros and once at the US Open in the fourth round. The fourth round match at the US Open. Or the third round match. It was the third round, yeah. It was the third round both places, actually, in the Roland Garros and the US Open. Świątek won them both.
Okay, I was gonna say somehow I don't remember either of those.
I was gonna say too. Thank you, Vansh, for being here because otherwise we would just.
Looking them up now. So that one at So I do remember the one at Roland Garros. It was an amazing first set. It was really tight, and Kontaveit was playing great tennis.
But was Świątek, it a tiebreaker? And then
Świątek snuck it out anyway, and then dominated the second set. I think that was after that match. I was so confident she would win the title. And then the US Open 6-3 in the third. Yeah,
that was a very high level match.
Man, it looks like Świątek was all over Kontaveit's serve. She was 6-for-20 on break points, 157 return points, but only served at 49%. Anyway, sorry, I'm getting caught up in the stats.
It would just I guess it would just suggest that Kontaveit is getting closer to Swiatek in this matchup.
Yeah, so, and that hard is a more favorable surface for her.
Yeah.
Yeah, and then with the, you know, with the wins already against Fernandez and with Kontaveit's red hot form, I could honestly see Kontaveit in the final. So I do have, yeah. And then the thing is that I do remember they played once, Swiatek and Kontaveit in the fourth round in 2020. So it was a while back, but
your memory is something else, man.
With Kontaveit winning it 6-7, 7-5, 7-5.
Are you writing a book yet, Mosh?
No, but it's in. I do plan on writing a book on tennis at some point after my career is over, whatever it's like.
Well, you send us a note when it's ready, so we can be the first ones to buy it. Yeah. I agree with you guys.
Give us the first draft.
Kontaveit would beat Swiatek if they play. I think with Muguruza and Swiatek, I think I would still go for Muguruza. Feel like she's got more experience. More experience going deep at the Australian Open. So yeah, and that'll be her second Australian Open final in the last 3 years. And the one she didn't make would be a loss for match points up against the eventual champion, Naomi Osaka. So not too bad. I mean, it hasn't happened yet, but I think that number three seeding is gonna she's gonna more than live up to that.
I'll say Kontaveit, because I picked Kontaveit and Fernandez into the semis. I think Kontaveit makes it into the final. Just by virtue, I think Kontaveit's game is a little bit more complete than Fernandez at this stage of their careers. Mm-hmm. And despite having lost a brilliant, brutal match against Krejcikova, it was not a match that you know, it was 500. It was not like a Grand Slam final. It's not a match that you lose a leap for. Like, you probably just think about it like, man, I could have won this match. But then like 2 days
later, I think she'll shrug it off.
Cool. Yeah, quickly. You can shrug it. It was like, I didn't lose this match. It's like, she won it like fair and square, and she played incredible tennis as well. So I think she's going to be very much ready and hungry to make it into the finals. And I think that's what's going to happen.
Yeah. And then the next top half, I had Barty and Badosa.
Barty Badosa, the semis.
Yeah. And now this is a stage where we've seen Barty struggle a little bit.
Yeah.
With expectations.
Yeah.
Because in 2020, she had that loss to Kennan, which was sort of a weird finish in both sets because she was ahead in both. And she probably could have closed those out. And then she had the experience last year of losing from a setup against Mukova.
Yep.
Right.
So now hopefully she'll be able to deal with those expectations better and just sort of perform at her very highest level.
Yeah, it does seem like she's ready. You know, like she achieved her childhood dream of winning Wimbledon, so that was resisting a ton of pressure. Yeah. And the way she won that match as well, with Pliskova coming back at her after Barty served for the match, had to save break point in the last game. So yeah, I do feel like Barty is ready to face this pressure as well. So I think she'll beat Sakkari in the quarters, and then I think she'll beat Krejcikova in the semis as well.
Yeah.
And then in the final, I see Barty beating. My God.
I think it was Swiatek.
I think I said, my God, how am I forgetting this? Muguruza, geez.
Muguruza.
That'd be a really interesting match.
Barty Muguruza? Yeah, I think I would watch that.
Yeah. You think? One and three?
Muguruza does not like the slice. So that is
right. That's true.
Wasn't there a Twitter thread about this? It was kind of commenting that savage.
I mean, I feel like Barty would be a favorite, but all the pressure would be on her. So that would be interesting to see as well. Although again, like, I do feel like she's ready. I think the Wimbledon final last year, she won like the first 14 points or something crazy like that. Like, the nerves didn't affect her at all in the beginning. So yeah, I feel like there I would have to lean Barty as well.
Yeah. I am going to say Barty beats Krejcikova in the semifinals. I think it's going to be a somewhat straightforward two-setter, like something like along the lines of, I'm calling the scores, but you don't have to. Like, I would say like a 7-6, 6-4 along like this type of score line. And Kontaveit in the final is, she's been so, you know, so good in the past. I feel like it's going to be a very, very difficult match. I would say Barty wins in the final again, but I don't think is going to be an easy one. Mm-hmm. Just because as you put it, Owen, she's more confident right now. She's ready. She's done super well at Wimbledon. She has been number one before at the Australian Open, but this time it just feels like a more established number one, if you will. Like,
yeah,
a more dominant number one. Okay. So yeah, there you go.
Vaughn, you better pick someone different than us.
Yes,
this has been a lot of sameness.
So you guys both have Barty.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, so my two semifinals were Barty versus Badosa and Świątek against Kontaveit. I picked Kontaveit already to get to the final. Now, Barty-Badosa is kind of interesting because they met twice on clay and they split both of them last year in Charleston, and then Barty got her back in Madrid. But those were on clay, very different. This time, though, you know what? Badosa, her form is like really tempting me. Like,
I thought you might say that.
And with the way that she's playing right now and the confidence she has, like just, you know, not only Indian Wells, but also WTA finals. I mean, she lost to Muguruza in the semis, and then also winning this tournament this week. I feel like her game is really getting there, like to the next level. And if she can keep on hitting heavy and keep varying up her paces and really target the Barty's backhand and like come forward whenever she can, it's going to be really tricky because Barty's going to try to find her weaknesses and use the slice, maneuver her around the court. She's going to be able to pick her apart in ways previous opponents couldn't. So Badosa is going to have to rely on her all-round power and serve. And
yeah,
it's going to be really fascinating. And then, but Barty has all the pressure, and Badosa is sort of riding free at that point, but she's still super competitive. Yeah. I have to be different. And you know what?
Badosa
is really all right. Good. So I'm going to go with Badosa Kontaveit in the final.
Okay. I was going to say, just in tennis terms, like, it's going to be so hard for anyone to beat Barty with that package of the serve and the slice and the forehand. Yeah. Like, I think someone is going to need like a big hiccup from Barty to beat her unless Pico Sacco shows up.
Yeah.
Yeah. Or I'll say this, that maybe Sakkari drags her to the trenches.
Yeah. Yeah. Because Sakkari is one of the only ones who could maybe match her in terms of like serve botting. And like taking care of her service games. Serve botting is not the right word, but in terms of like serving really well.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So yeah, who's your winner, Vansh?
So I do have Badosa over Kontaveit. I have Badosa.
Badosa winning her first Grand Slam? Yeah. Man.
Yeah, I think that would be a great result as well. Like honestly, it already feels like she's ready to make that jump. Like, I think mentally she's there. In that first big final she played in Indian Wells, so poised. It was incredible.
Yeah.
Navigated the dip of losing the second set really, really well. Didn't panic when Azarenka served at 5-4, 30 love. So yeah, I could see it for sure.
I think it could be interesting though, because it always feels like a Grand Slam is different. Not just because of the format and things like that, but it always feels like, man, this is like one of the most prestigious tournaments in the world. Like Indian Wells is, she has the benefit of like having played what most players consider the fifth Grand Slam. So that's really good. But I don't know. I feel like after winning Indian Wells with no expectations, coming here, having a lot more expectations, like if she were to meet Kontaveit in the final, who is the real favorite in this matchup? Really? Like we have Kontaveit, who's won like 26 out of like 30 matches that she's played, and then you have Badosa, who won Indian Wells and pretty much cracked in the top 10 and just stay there for
just won a tournament as well.
Yeah, exactly.
I mean, it feels like honestly every match not involving Barty, like the ones in the bottom section that we were just projecting, like don't have favorites. Like they're so hard to pick. I mean, I think Kontaveit would be the favorite against a lot of top players, but I could still see her losing
because it's Barty.
Right. And no also, jokes. I could also see her losing to Muguruza if they played. I think she would be the underdog in that one. But yeah, I mean, she might be, I think she's seated sixth, right? Yeah. It feels like she could only play like maybe three players where she wouldn't be the favorite. Like I feel like against anyone except Muguruza, Barty, and Osaka, she would be the favorite. I can't wait for this. I think it's going to be a great tournament.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and just a reminder for listeners that we are finishing with just the WTA draw, we're not doing the men's draw because
Djokovic's hearing is going on right now.
Is it still going on as we speak? Oh my goodness.
Yep.
I feel like if they were cut out like the language by something that normal people could understand, this meeting would take like 30 minutes.
Oh yeah. I mean, I genuinely wanted to watch it. I just couldn't understand.
I could not understand. So. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. And if you do understand like this, please let us know in the comments, like on Twitter, and like reply to us like, oh yeah, this is what they're trying to say or whatever.
Yes.
And by the time this
Twitter thread by Karen Sweeney to help explain.
Yes, I'm following that as well.
Nice.
Yeah, I mean these Australian reporters like are not sleeping. Like they're like every time something happens, an article is immediately up within like 5 minutes, breaking it down. It's amazing. I aspire to be like these people.
I wish I was like running an energy drink company right now because they must be buying all of those.
Oh yeah.
Coffee. Oh, yes.
Yeah. So yeah, as you listen to this episode, this trial is probably over, but yeah, we will probably come back on Monday or something to discuss the men's draw. There might be some matches which will be over at that point, but we'll work with what we've got. There's still 2 weeks of tournament ahead of us, and hope you're excited as we are about the tennis. Other things, it's up to you whether you like it or not, but we're excited about the tennis, and we think that the Australian Open is going to be amazing.
Yes. Looking forward to not sleeping. It's the only 2 weeks all year where I'll say that.
Yeah. As I said, I am most likely not going to be sleeping, at least for the first week. And if things go as I predicted for Fernandez reaching the semis, count me in for 2 weeks of not sleeping.
I mean,
in regular hours.
You're lucky that this is your job, though, because you can sleep during the day. Like, Ponce and I have to go to school.
Yeah. That is definitely true. So, hoping that you guys get to tennis journalism. I think I don't necessarily know like what you want. Oh my goodness! Like my English is completely breaking up. This is the result of not sleeping already. So, if you guys go into the tennis world, let's meet in a tournament and have fun. And Owen, by the time that you're 21, let's have a beer.
Yeah, for sure. hopefully we'll all find ourselves in Melbourne in a few years.
Yeah.
Yeah. I absolutely can't wait for the Australian Open to start, even though I know my life will be an absolute mess the next 2 weeks.
Yeah.
Trying to manage school and job I got on campus along with all the tennis, but it's all worth it because
sleep is. We can always count on highlights.
Yeah. I mean, I don't know about you guys, but this is my favorite tournament of the year. And Rod Laver Arena is also my favorite court on tour. Like yesterday I was on Twitter and I like retweeted a photo of it and I was like, best court on tour, and someone responded with a photo of the Monte Carlo court. And I was like, no, Rod Laver Arena is bluer than the water in the background. which is kind of true. So yeah, I'm so excited.
Yeah, Rod Laver in the Australian Open for me just beat Wimbledon, but it's not by much. But yeah, in any case, thanks guys for the talk and for the hard work on the draws and picking different players to win and not trying to just play the seeds, which is weird, right? Like we haven't done this like in a while. Like for the WTA, it has been like, man, every single player could win this tournament. And now like, yeah, Barty's probably going to win this.
Yeah. I mean, even if not Barty, it feels like this feels more hierarchical than normal. I don't know if I pronounced that right, it feels like we're picking from a handful this time.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And you could really see like towards the end of the season, especially WTA finals and stuff, like the players in the bottom part of the top 10, like they're really coming into their own now, so that makes it really interesting.
That's cool too.
You can at least put the depth in tiers, you know.
Yeah,
so that makes it
I mean, and like it's as always, it's nice to have the contrast from the ATP where we're picking from three guys to win. Three guys, whether or not Djokovic plays, because like if he plays, then him, Medvedev, or the other guy, and if he doesn't play, it's Medvedev, the other guy, and Nadal maybe. So yeah, it's just nice to have both things going on.
I'm excited for the ATP preview too, because I can't wait to look at Nadal's draw and pick him to lose in the quarterfinals.
Right.
I'll tell you who's biting his nails right now is Miromir Kecmanovic. He has no idea he's in the first round.
I mean, this is gonna this is a massive money swing for him potentially. It's
lucky loser, Novak Djokovic.
Right. I mean, because like if the number one, if you beat the number one spot, you get the number one draw. Like that's potentially a great thing for him.
Yeah.
So But yeah, I mean, my laptop is going to die soon. So I should end this and send it off to you.
Exactly. And so is my voice going to die. So yeah. Thanks for, oh man. I am sorry, listeners.
We can probably cut out just the last 5 minutes of this.
I might. But in any case, listeners, thanks for listening. That's your job.
Leave us
a review on Acast, on Apple Podcasts, and see you later. Bye-bye.
Bye.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.